Greetings and welcome to another episode of the Wandering One podcast, brought to you by Wandering One Studios and yours truly, your host Link Flores. How are you all doing? I hope your week has been well and wonderful. This week has been bizarre to say the least, but we're alive, we're here, and we're ready to do this thing. Sorry, this one's coming out a little bit late. It's been a complicated but fun week. I'll tell you about it in just a minute, but first up, thank you to everybody who's been listening and subscribing and sharing and rating and commenting and all that jazz. You guys are the bomb, and I appreciate each and every one of you. Please continue to do so, and let me know what you think. If you have any feedback or comments, I'd love to read those. You can stop over at patreon.com/wanderingonestudios and just follow for now, because if you'll notice on the homepage, there's a new announcement. I'm going to reduce the subscription tier price from $5 to $3 in January. So hold off on doing your subscriptions just yet, because if you do, then Patreon won't allow me to change the price. If you subscribe, then people will have to basically ride it out until, you know, I'm able to actually reduce the price. So just hold off on your subscriptions for now. I do appreciate everyone who wants to and has asked about it, but I thought maybe making it $3 for, you know, the extra content every week would be at least agreeable, you know. I didn't think $5 was excessive, but I think $3 is a little bit more palatable for some folks. Why not? Cheaper's always better for you, right? If you can afford it, if you can get it, why not go for it, right? So that's what we're going to do. $3, we're going to start that in January. So if you're considering subscribing, please wait until the turn of the new year, and I'll make an announcement when it'll be live and ready to go. And then you can drop your subscriptions then if you'd like to. In the meantime, though, you can still follow the Patreon for free 99, and you'll still be able to engage with myself and other people on Patreon, and hopefully we'll be having a supplemental episode coming this weekend. I'd like to get at least two in, obviously, each month, but November was kind of a weird one, so I will be throwing down those two episodes sometime in the next week to try to get that out there before the holidays, so you have something fun to listen to. And if you've never heard the podcast before, feel free to go back and catch up on past episodes on Audio Boom. Thanks to Audio Boom for making the platform available for us to use and opening up hosting for podcasting, making it so quick and easy for creators like myself to get involved, whether you know how to do all the things about technology or not. Furthermore, you can also catch me over at Twitch, where I'm doing gameplay 4 days a week right now. That's at twitch.tv/linkib, and of course, when you're hearing this, I should actually be streaming, but things have been weird. So let's hopefully see us there, see you guys there maybe in a little while, hour or so. And if you're looking for any holiday gift-giving ideas, you can stop over at streamlabs.com/linkib/merch, and that's where you can go and find some Wandering One Studios merchandise as well as branded merchandise for my Twitch channel. Pretty reasonable pricing, I would assume, I hope. And hopefully it's some cool stuff that you see over there you'll like. And I want to add some more designs over the next couple months. And a palette shift for the Twitch channel in general. So keep your eyes posted to those two places to learn more about it. All right, so powering through and on to the first batch of content here. There's, as we go into 2024, you're going to see a lot of people talking about who they're voting for, which candidates they support, why they don't vote, you know, this, that, and the other. And I'm not going to really dig too much into the politics of, you know, what I think or what you think or whatever, but just the idea of having a president, I heard it posited by Joe Rogan that it's an insane thing that we do. It never really works. It creates a lot more division than one would imagine would be possible. Just from a position that doesn't, I mean, it does affect us, but I don't know the best way to put this. It's too much power for one person to have. It's not really a great way to run the country. Even with all the checks and balances that are supposedly in place, just look at the last, you know, 8 years, 10 years of presidential, you know, shenanigans and whatnot. The lengths to which certain people will go to abuse whatever power is put in their way is quite honestly a little staggering. Like, I don't really put it past people to be as foul as they could possibly be. I mean, gosh, we've all seen just We've seen the news, we've seen documentaries on serial killers. We know that people can be absolutely depraved, but it's just so much power to put in the hands of one person that even with the checks and balances, it makes people a little nutty, I think. And it's also too much responsibility to put on any one individual person because their choices shape so much of what affects your daily life without you really even knowing it, and without them usually having to face the consequences or ramifications of those choices. So in a way, it feels a little anti-democratic to actually have a president. It's like having a king, but with more steps. Like we managed to make like king light over here. Like we're gonna do a presidential democracy. And like, what the fuck is that? It's kind of like a monarchy, kind of like that. Except you get to vote for this one. This is not just a long line of, inbred knuckleheads that are running the show. Yeah, you get to vote for this one. So you kind of have a decision in how bad your government's going to be. You know what I mean? It's just crazy because there's too many loopholes for sneaky people. There's endless numbers of in routes that you can use to try to like ditch and dodge and manipulate your way through to get what you want. And I just feel like are we done? Can we just be done with, a president? I don't even like the idea of the Congress the way it is right now. Honestly, I think that Congress and the Senate should be gutted and retrofitted with new people, and the Supreme Court as well. You got too many like old codgery people that are in there and they don't care. Some of these people will never actually have to experience the ramifications of the things that they vote for, the things that they put into law. Like the Supreme Court overturning Roe v. Wade. I'm not getting political about it, but one nobody up there that was going to have to worry about whether or not an abortion was in their future. You know what I mean? So I don't think you should be able to make a law, you know what I mean? Determining what's going to happen to basically one. One third of, one half of the population or whatever. You don't get to make a law affecting like half of the population if it's not going to affect you too. You know what I mean? Like that's just bullshit. But we've been going on with it for so long, and it's obvious that it hasn't really worked out that great. Other countries do something that's similar but a little bit different. Their economies are better. Their governments run a little bit more smoothly. Not saying anybody's perfect or anything like that, but you're seeing less of the kind of tomfoolery that we have in our corporate. I mean, I like the idea of other countries. Was it Singapore? I think it was. I know it happens in Korea and, in China occasionally. Not China. I think it was Taiwan. When their legislators get out of pocket and they get a little mouthy, or get a little irritated with each other, they start whooping ass. I've seen it a couple of times over the years. I'm sure we all have too, where they'll be having a debate like on the parliamentary floor and motherfuckers just come out of their seats. It's great. It's like watching a hockey match, but with ties. It's my favorite thing in the world. One thing I really wish that would actually happen more often, honestly. I remember there was a story just recently of a couple of people getting real catty in the Senate. I think it was in the Senate. I know it was Congress, one of the two, anyway. And they were like, one dude was elbowing another guy in the back while he was doing an interview. Another guy actually called somebody out for a fist fight, like on the Senate floor. He's like, if you got a problem with this, we could take it outside. And dude's like, you want to go? Let's go. I'm like, oh my God, this is junior high. This is great. I was waiting to see an update on the story and be like, yeah. And, they were just talking and getting out of hand in the chambers, but then once they left, somebody pulled out a phone camera and yelled, "World Star!" And these dudes were getting it on, ready to rumble style in the parking lot. That would have made my whole millennium better. I would have been so happy to watch that happen. I think that's one of the things that makes it weird is like, politics, because it's, because of the amount of fervor that people have for their side versus the other side. Like, I think that passion doesn't quite transcend all the way up to the level of the people who are actually doing the lawmaking. It happens all the time, in bars and, in bars and backyards around the country. And people say, your guy sucks. No, your guy sucks. Ah, and then they're, beating each other up. It's kind of fun to watch the people up there get mad and throw shoes and shit. I wish it would happen more often. It would definitely make politics more interesting to talk about, if nothing else. You could kind of treat it like the NBA Finals or, you know, like the NFL playoffs, which leads us into this week's Gridiron Gripes. Yeah, I told you guys I can't pick a winner for shit, right? The only winner I actually managed to pick was Chicago because they had a bye week. But both of the teams that I picked to win ate it this week. I don't understand what happened. I don't think I've had a winning week since I started doing this podcast. It's weird. Jacksonville takes the L from Cincinnati. And I mean, it was actually a pretty solid game. Way more solid than I expected it to be because I didn't expect Cincinnati to show up and be like challengers at all. And it turned out to be a pretty solid game. Surprisingly, like I said, right up until Trevor Lawrence got stepped on and then scorpioned backwards at the same time. That was heartbreaking to watch because you could tell like the ankle thing was bad enough. But then to get him folded backwards over on himself was just really horrible to watch. And just watching the cameras pan through the crowd after they saw it on the Jumbotron here in Jacksonville was just like, oh, God, he's done. And that guy's out for the rest of the game at the very least. God, and then they brought Bethard into the game to play quarterback at the end. I'm like, dude, this is a guy who... People said that Chad Henne was too old to continue playing quarterback. This dude, his name is spelled Beat Hard, and we took a bad beat because of his ass. Like, why the fuck were you running so much? He was trying to play linebacker, and I think he forgot that he's actually supposed to be a quarterback. And he can't run for shit. He was also super slow. He saw the open route, had plenty of time to run, and then just kind of stood there for a minute going like, you know, like that kid that hits the ball in, you know, in like... the first day of like Little League, he hits it and everybody's like, run, motherfucker. And he's just standing there like, huh? You know, one thumb up his nose, the other one up his butt and didn't do anything. And I'm just like, oh, fuck, if you're going to run, just run. Just put your shoulder down and run. He couldn't. And he got tackled and he lost yards and he just screwed up generally. It's at the point where you like somebody has to sit down with you and say, look, man, this might not be for you. We have a great position, though, as equipment manager. If you don't want to do that, like, I mean, we could definitely use somebody like, you know, as a towel boy, refill Gatorades, whatever. Fuck, you can't throw a football. You're not Trevor Lawrence. Go sit down. Give me your jersey. I'll call your mom and come pick you up. You know, it's like, dude, he was horrible, ruinous. I mean, the only thing I can say is thank God for Brandon McManus, because even though he lost an opportunity to basically put a cap on the top of the game with one missed field goal. He came back to keep the game alive and send it into overtime. Not that, you know, it really made any difference in the end. You know, Jacksonville takes the L by just 3 points, but it was still like a seriously good game. Like, it could have been a lot better. It could have been a lot worse. But I was surprised that they put up as much of a fight as they did because I really predicted that they were going to go belly up against the Jaguars. You know, I sincerely thought the Bengals were not going to be able to survive, but hey, any given Sunday, right? I guess we'll just wait and see. The Steelers losing to the Arizona Cardinals. I know last week I said St. Louis Cardinals, but that's because I never pay attention to a team like this. Nobody else really seems to. I mean, for crying out loud, they're like 3-10. Did they even have to show up? But then they did, and then they showed up on the Steelers for some reason. I guess maybe... the Steelers underestimated them the same way I did, and you know, they snoozed and lost. But, I mean, how does a 3-10 Arizona team even touch Pittsburgh? How does that even happen? That's the weirdest thing to me, is that it even came close. And I mean not that it, but that they came close, because the game was not close at all. 24-10, they went to town on the Steelers, which is crazy. Better luck next week, I guess, for the Steelers, because they're facing the 2-10 Pats. But, I mean, if this is any indication, they might need to bring, I don't know, a rocket launcher or something. What is it going to take? Because I feel like every week I say, like, this team looks like they're doing good. And then they go, ha, 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 fuck you, dude. And then they just do terrible. So maybe if I say Chicago's going to win against Detroit next week, it'll make some difference. Although I doubt it. Going into this week's picks, I'm just going to say Chicago's going to lose to Detroit and call that a day. Pittsburgh versus New England. I think that Pittsburgh has the chops to take this. I think losing to like losing to a team that is basically forgotten. I mean, shit, I didn't even remember they were in Arizona until like this week when I had to research the score. I feel like they're gonna take that loss pretty personally, and they're gonna go and whoop up on New England. But who knows? I haven't been right. I haven't pulled two out of three yet since I started doing this thing. So okay, good luck to me, I guess. And Jacksonville versus the Cleveland Browns. Whoosh. I really wish I could 50-50 this one because I don't really see a clear-cut winner on this. I'm gonna say Jacksonville just because I think that maybe after this heartbreaker of a loss this week against a team that was mediocre compared to Jacksonville's like very strong, young, and hungry team, I feel like they're gonna turn another corner. Like it would be. I don't know how to quite put this. It would be a little arrogant of me to assume that they're suddenly going to become world beaters all of a sudden and like just stomp the Jaguars, but it's not out of the realm of possibility. So we'll just see. Anyway, I'm going to say Chicago to lose, Pittsburgh to win, and Jacksonville to win next week. And we'll find out how right and/or wrong I am come next Wednesday. Moving forward, I'll give you guys a little insight into some of the video game world stuff that I've been looking at. Not a whole lot's really been impressing me lately. I think it's because now that I have the Series X in the house and I'm enjoying playing on that, a big part of it is kind of going back to my back catalog, updating stuff that can actually be played now in its full glory, and trying to enjoy that content instead of looking for more shit to have. You know what I mean? Trying to be a little bit more focused on being grateful for what I've got and, running that content for a little bit more of what it's worth. Speaking of which, I had Cyberpunk 2077 for the longest time, and now with the new Phantom Liberty expansion that came out in September, there's a new update that's on the way. Cyberpunk looks great and apparently plays even better. I mean, we're gonna find out hopefully sometime this week. Thinking maybe I'll pull it up for Friday's stream and just go for it and see what it's like. I'm not gonna buy Phantom Liberty just yet. $30 is not a very expensive price point, but I'm already at the end of, the year, and I have not had any luck finding another job. And sponsorships aren't exactly rolling in. Tried to hook Duke Cannon last week, didn't work. Maybe we can get Dollar Shave Club this week. But yeah, it's still tough out there on these streets, man. It's hard out here for a pimp. And since I'm not actually pimping, it's even harder. So I'm going to hold off on that one for now. But I have been looking at it. It does look amazing. The new update is going to bring in things like hangouts with your partners in crime in the video game. So you can actually go on little excursions with them. Or you can have yourself like a quiet meal or play some billiards at home when you're chilling with the guys. The update's also bringing in some new bikes and cars for people to enjoy. Bike Tricks, which is a thing that they showed off to some degree in their most recent trailer and more. I like the idea of Cyberpunk 2077. When I first got it, it was still, as most of you remember, very broken, very buggy, and incredibly difficult to play. Now that these new updates have been added over the last couple of years, I feel like it's turning a corner that's finally putting it into a state where I want to play it. I've dreaded going back and I've tried doing some of the tutorial missions from the very beginning and have been a little underwhelmed with some of the gunplay, gameplay, and some of the other mechanics. But that being said, I also believe that it's kind of a telling point that they wanted to put as much of the RPG mechanics into the game as they possibly could. And in so doing, I think they may have overcluttered the interface just a little bit for my tastes, but maybe that's just me. I have to go back and give it another stab and see how it goes. But yeah, good on CD Projekt Red and Cyberpunk 2077. Hopefully I'll get a chance to play some more of that in the near future. On to Destiny 2 news. Wow, boy. It's not that I don't care. I just feel like it's so much right now that I'm kind of overwhelmed just looking at it. I went back the other day and was doing a stream where I was cleaning up some of the minor story missions. Exotic quest points, and I was like, not for nothing, but I kind of feel bored. I think the only reason that I've enjoyed Destiny lately has been the PvP elements with my fire team and my Destiny clan, but I'm trying to find reasons to fall in love with it and still keep playing it. And I mean, that's it. That's all I got. Hey, you want to do some Gambit? You want to play some Crucible? And after that, I'm like, good night. But we'll see. The newest update actually seems to be pretty fun, pretty interesting. There have been some complaints about the fifth mission in the new story campaign that they've released, and the new dungeon called the Warlord's Ruin. Some people have said that it's a bit hard, but fun for Warlord's Ruin. Some people have said the fifth mission feels like almost impossible, and that's kind of how I felt about the Strand campaign for Lightfall, the most recent expansion. I just felt like at a certain point, it hits a spot when you're like, I can't really do this without other people. I know if there are people out there who are superheroes and like, I can beat every game on master difficulty with one foot up my ass and the one hand on the controller. And I'm like, good for you. The rest of us have shit to do, and we'd actually like to, you know, drink a beer, talk to our friends, and get laid once in a while. So have fun with that. I'm being facetious. I really don't give a shit. But the thing is, when it gets to be more work than fun, I check out. I think it's kind of what's happened to Destiny. I feel like I'm checking out, and I don't want to, because I do enjoy the story and I enjoy the gunplay, but it just feels like there's not enough to keep me intrigued, and I hate that. Hopefully this new season of content will spark something anew inside my my brain, so I'll feel like, oh yeah, I can actually play this content. But right now, outlook looks bleak. On to some happier gaming news. The Fallout television series has been announced for a while. Early press release shots have come out, including a trailer. And my early impressions are, they fucking nailed it. I don't know what else to say. I can gush, obviously, but they look like they've, from the aesthetic of the the aesthetic of the world, the music, the costume design, the makeup, the CGI, everything looks incredible. I've been watching the trailer, and the first time I saw the suits of power armor fully realized, I started to cry a little bit, because I love Fallout as a franchise. I love 3 so much that I've played it full bore from top to bottom at least 3 times. Played through New Vegas, a lot of the story, you know, the DLC content too. I haven't touched the Fallout 3 DLC content, which would be amazing to go back and check out, but I love Fallout as a world, as a universe, although 4 can definitely suck it, and 76 is not going to ever get me back. But the core Fallout games that I remember, even the older ones on PC, were so much more fun, and it looks like they've really nailed the world, the vibe, the humor, the drama, the gore, the intrigue. I'm really excited. April 12th can't get here fast enough. And I mean, it'll be one of the reasons to keep Amazon Prime, because even if we toss Netflix, Amazon Prime might still be worth it. Because Netflix is getting to be a little greedy. Anyway, well, speaking of that, let's kind of swing over to a media topic. And that is the thing lately. Netflix has gone up on all of their consumers, obviously. But for us in particular, almost $4.50, somewhere in that area, just this year alone. And it's sneaky shit that they do. Like, it's like an email that you would never really pay attention to. Hey, just so you know, we're going to raise the price again. Okay, great, bye. Instead of coming out like, hey, we are Netflix. We are doing this and we are making more money than God. We're raising your price again. Because why would you? But I think the really shitty thing about it is there's no perceptible benefit to the consumer. I mean, you've canceled so many shows in their first season, you shouldn't have to worry about spending any more money because you've canceled all the shows that people really wanted. And, you know, it's not like you're really highlighting a lot of great content either. I don't know what their deal is. Maybe it's the international licensing for all the other amazing shows that are coming from other countries that they're charging more for, which in that case, maybe it's worth it. Because I watch a lot more Korean dramas and anime and foreign films from all different parts of the world than I ever watch most of the Netflix American curated content, which says a lot about our entertainment industry. but why are you going up on the price, dog? And I'm like looking at it and I try to think about it. And I was like, you know, they're really only doing this because they can. It's not because they need the money. It's not because they're actually going bankrupt or any shit like that. They're doing this because they can. And they know that like most people, and I just tested it in my own friend group. Like most people will not be willing to give up paying $25 for Netflix because they want to see their favorite shows. And most of the time you end up spending on Netflix, I probably spend, and I'm guilty of this too, so I'm not judging anyone for it. You probably spend about 30% of the time you're watching Netflix, watching trailers and scrolling through a bunch of shit you've never watched, already watched, or thought you might watch but never got around to. That's just the truth. Most of people's time on Netflix is actually watching stuff, but like a big chunk of it is just scrolling through all the shit that's there. And they're getting some great acquisitions, which might be another reason why. Like they just recently picked up the Super Mario Brothers movie, which was a huge get. And they picked up a couple of other Marvel films from Disney, which is also a huge get. I mean, Across the Spider-Verse, which I hadn't seen, I wanted to go and watch in theaters. I can actually watch right now on my laptop or my phone or TV. Huge gets, which is probably why they're like, give us more money. But fuck you. You should have been doing this the whole time. You know, if you had been working more closely with Disney, we wouldn't have to have a need for Disney Plus. So I honestly was trying to test people and say, hey, how many people would be willing to cut off Netflix just for 3 months? Just 3 months, enough for Netflix to feel the financial sting as a way of saying, going up on these prices is not for us, dog. You want this money, you better come up off of, you know, these price increases every couple months. And I think 3 months, if you could get even just a third, I said half, but I think if you could get a third of Netflix subscribers to drop Netflix for 3 months, just because they were like, I'm tired of them increasing the price on me for nothing that I really see a benefit for. I mean, you think about that. You could have gotten those movies on demand, the ones I just mentioned, like Super Mario Brothers movie, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. There's a couple other films. Dune is on there, I think, now. You could have got those on other services that you're probably already paying for. So for Netflix to go up on them and say, we got them too. Like, so the fuck what? I already have it on this service. Some of these other services come bundled with your ISP or your internet service provider or your cable company or whatever you've got for, you know, television viewing. Some of these services, in an effort to survive and stay relevant, have actually created bundles. So you pay for like this is a Disney, Hulu, ESPN Plus bundle. Like, okay, there's another one for like Amazon where they tack in like Peacock and Paramount Plus and Hulu and other shit too. So if you can get all that stuff for one low price somewhere else, why would you need Netflix? And I think if people just said, you know, we're tired of you going up on the cost and actually put their foot down and didn't use Netflix for 3 months straight, Netflix would have no choice but to dial these price increases back. It, financially, it wouldn't be smart for them to continue to hold on to the price increase unless they were like, fine, we'll just go up higher on the rest of our subscribers and then watch them all fall off. If Netflix were to, if like, I guarantee you, well, let's put this way. I can't guarantee that. That's way too arrogant. But let's just say I'm fairly confident that if everybody who listens to my voice right now, let's say there's maybe, let's just assume that 100 people hear this podcast today. And each of those people reaches out to three other people. And each of those people reaches out to three other people, kind of like a pyramid scheme, but in reverse, and said, hey, let's agree that we won't watch Netflix and we won't subscribe to Netflix for 3 months starting January 1st, 2024. If you could get three people in your circle to do that, and they could get three people in their circle to do that, and or even just to listen to the idea, and let's say of those three, one of those people actually does it, you'd put a huge enough dent in Netflix to probably take them down a huge, like a big couple of steps, you know, like a couple pegs. I don't think that financially they could ignore it at a certain point, right? It gets to be untenable. They're like, oh, well, we're losing 33% of our subscriber base because we decided we were going to squeeze $4 more out of them a month. Stop the presses, hit the brakes, roll that shit back. Let's make amends for this. I think they'd have no choice but who knows? We'll see. Speaking of that, definitely not going to get sponsored by Netflix if I keep talking this kind of shit. But yeah, I was looking at the sponsorship agreements for podcasts and stuff recently. And I don't know what I would want, who I would get, and how I'd pull it off. There's a couple products and services that I use personally, privately, you know, that I would be more than willing to say, hey, this is a quality product. I believe in it. I put my stamp of approval on it. What that would mean to other people, I don't know. But I mentioned Duke Cannon last week, like Dollar Shave Club this week. There's other services that are out there that I patronize and I believe in and that I think are a great product, but I just don't know which one to approach. Like, what kind of stuff am I looking for? Do I want to focus more on like lifestyle kind of brand stuff? Do I want to focus on clothing, fitness? I don't know, like snacks, you know? Get like a Liquid Death sponsorship. That would be awesome. I love water. I love to drink it. You guys have heard me drink it on the podcast enough. You know what I mean? Might as well get somebody to pay me to do it. If Liquid Death paid me to do this podcast, I would drink a can of Liquid Death every day and you would just have to listen to the sound of me gulping water. That said, if someone out there knows someone who works at Liquid Death, send me a case, send me a check. You got it. I'll do it. I promise you that. But then you got to wonder, like, how many of them? How much before you're just shilling out and you're, like, getting too thin? But I'm not going to lie. It would be nice to have some corporate sponsorship. Who wouldn't want it? But then again, does it really matter? Does anyone actually care about that kind of thing? I can get all the sponsors I wanted, right? But, I mean, how often does that usually influence anybody? I wouldn't consider myself to be that influential of a human being, period. Let alone to, like, a mass market. Like, who am I? I mean, just some dude in another room in his house with a microphone and a computer. I'm not like a celebrity. I'm not a political figure. I'm not a religious figure. I'm just some jackass on a phone. I'm some jackass on a computer, a voice in your headphones. That's all I am. So I don't know that it would even matter. I mean, I know that I've done it. I scroll through ads on TV whenever I can. Sometimes I'll record a show just so I can scroll through the ads and not have to watch them. I'll skip the ads in the middle of a podcast. I've done it, you know, so I know that it might not impress other people. It might not affect them. But even if it was in the podcast, you know what I mean? Like if it was like plugged in here somehow, like I don't know what that would look like for me, but it would be dope to be able to get some sponsorship. Lord knows I've been trying to find a regular job. And I think I said it on my podcast, like, I'm not a podcast, but on stream the other day. I was like, you know, they keep saying that no one's hiring, right? I'm like, why the fuck am I seeing all these different people everywhere that I go? I've been to at least 5 different establishments besides the other online work from home kind of things that I was trying for. Been at least 5 establishments in the last 2 months, and I've been applying to these places for a while, and I keep seeing new faces every time I go in there. And they're not the greatest jobs in the world, but at least it's a job, right? And I think the real thing is it's kind of twofold. Well, there's multiple facets to it. One of them is definitely, as I was speaking with my mother a while back about the same situation, is I'm not 18, 19, 20-something year old kid anymore, you know? You can afford to pay them nickels on the dollar compared to what you're paying somebody like myself who's older, more mature, got more experience, got more responsibilities, and needs an actual paycheck. And that's what they're looking at. They're not looking at the fact that the only reason I'm applying to this job is because I need job. I don't need, you know, I mean, would it be great? Yes, it would be great to be able to go to a job and have like, you know, $80,000 a year plus paycheck. Of course. Imagine if I could make that kind of money working at fucking Walmart, just being a bagger, I would be there every day of the week. And it's not that people don't want to work. People don't want to be taken advantage of. They don't want to be raked over the coals and then disenfranchised by a company that they poured their time and effort into. No, no one wants that. No one wants to be taken advantage of. No one wants to be talked down to or marginalized, treated like a slave or treated like worse, like an animal for the work that they're putting in. This is hours of their life that they're giving over to a company for basically it's bullshit money in the first place, but they need it to live. So they're willing to sacrifice portions of their life to come in here and do this. And you're going to pay them not even what close to what they're worth. So it's not that people don't want to work and it's not that people aren't hiring. It's just, I think that they're hiring people that they know that they can treat almost subhuman. You can't do that to me. And I think that's the problem. It's like, you know, maybe when I was like in my 20s, I'd have been like, oh, you're going to pay me only like $10 an hour to do this soul-sucking job for 8 hours a week, 8 hours a day, 40 hours a week. Sure, I need to pay rent. But, you know, I'm 45 years old right now. I'm like, you're going to pay me $10 an hour to do this whole soul-sucking job, 8 hours a day, 40 hours a week, and you think you can talk to me any kind of way? I break a jaw. I'm going back. I'm unemployed. And worst case scenario, I'm in jail because I punched a manager out. But I think that's the thing, is they know when they don't have to treat you a certain way. Then they'll be like, yeah, we'll take this guy. And they're like, oh, we're not fucking with this guy, though, because he's not going to take any shit off of us. Nah, we'll go on to the next one. We're currently exploring other options, means we're trying to see how many other people we can screw out of, you know, their livelihood, you know, their life and their life force before we have to make you our last resort. That's the legalese polities kind of thing about it. Like, yeah, not you. Not you. Yeah, because we know you're gonna make us have to treat people like people. And it wouldn't be just about me either. It'd be like, hey, you can't do that to Sarah and James. They're human beings with, you know, lives and families. Like, oh, fuck, we got a crusader on our hands. Oh, but, you know, who knows? We'll see. I'm going to keep plugging away and see what happens. But if anybody finds any acting jobs, any voice acting jobs, shit, if you know somebody who'd like to sponsor the podcast, send them my way. I'd be more than happy to listen to them, and I'd be more than happy to see what we got to put together. And if you got a regular ass job, you know, hit me up. I mean, who knows? If I can make it work out, let's do it. I would like to be able to earn in a more steady revenue, more steady income, but, you know, times are what they are. I'm not sure how much longer I could take it before I go stir crazy or insane. But we're going to keep trying. We're going to keep trying. We can't give up, right? What does that net us? Nothing. Nothing comes with quitting. Except regret. And I don't want to do that. Speaking of not regretting something, part of the reason why this podcast has been a little late and I've been a little bleary-eyed and just crazy and wild lately is because we have decided to increase the number of pets in the house by one. One of the guys who does a lot of the punch out and warranty work for this corporation, we'll call them, that built our house, is a real cool guy. Very soft-spoken, well-mannered guy, and loves animals. Found this little black and gray kitten. And had been taking care of it, but was like, you know, getting to the point where I can't keep this cat in my house. He's like, the cat's not afraid of the dog, but the dog is really big and the cat's really little. I'm worried the dog might accidentally hurt the cat. It's like, my kid is actually hurting the cat, you know, like grabbing it and stuff. And you know, she doesn't mean to, but she's a baby and she doesn't know any better. It's kind of hard to deal with that because you don't want the baby to hurt the cat. You don't want the cat to hurt the baby. And it just circle goes round and round. He's like, would you guys like her? And I'm like, oh, fuck me, really? The last couple times we tried to foster kittens, Kimari, which is my older cat, who's now 10 years old, has not been very receptive. And has actually been downright mean. Which is weird, because mostly she's standoffish or skittish when around new people or situations. But she's usually not mean. But she's been outright mean to the other kittens. I'm like, looking at this cat, I'm like, damn it, it's adorable. Talk to the wife about it. She really wants one, you know. She wants a lap cat that's like really focused on her, which is awesome. But Kimari's been the biggest obstacle. I'm like, you know what? Maybe my cat's racist, though. Because I was watching some videos the other day, and I'm like, any video I saw with like little black or gray kittens, she seemed to be interested in. Like, she was watching one, and there was a bunch of little black and gray tabby kittens, and they were mewing and meowing, and she was rolling around on the couch and like reaching out towards the TV. Her eyes are just riveted. So I'm like, maybe my cat's a racist. And she only likes little black and gray kittens. Who knows? We'll see. And boy, did we ever. He brought the kitten over on Saturday. And he brought his fiance and the baby, too. And Kimari was instantly not for other new people, period. But definitely not children. And she did her best. She stayed under the couch most of the time while the kitten kind of walked around getting used to the area. And then a couple times they would get close to each other and it'd be a little hiss off. And the kitten would arch her little back up and just kind of make herself look big, and Kimari would stay under the couch, but she kept her eyes on the kitten the whole time when she wasn't looking at the baby. So I'm like, I don't mean to seem rude or anything like that, but I think that the extra noise and activity of the child is actually freaking the cat out more than the kitten is. So if you guys wouldn't mind just giving us a minute, we could head to the playground and hang out or something. Just give them a little time to kind of let that energy come down, because ordinarily there wouldn't be little kids running around here anyway. So we'd want them to be able to get acclimated to one another in an environment that's a little bit more, what do you call it? More reflective of what they would actually be living in. And as soon as that happened, Kimari actually started making some outroads and like was looking around, trying to find if the cat ran somewhere where she couldn't see her. Kimari would like try to run and get to like a point where she could keep eyes on this kitten. And then I'm like, why don't you bring her back on Monday? We'll give him a little time to decompress. Take him on Monday. Take a kitten on Monday. We'll get her settled in and get her all sorted out. And then on Tuesday, I'll have nothing to do but just chill with the cat. Make everything kind of like, I accidentally tapped a button. I'm not exactly sure what happened there. Sorry about that, guys. Anyway, I said, I could at least be monitoring the situation all day Tuesday and see how it goes. So we did. Brought the cat over, and we're getting the cat all settled in. We got a litter box, food, whatnot. I'm like, yeah, this is cool. Appreciate that. We're gonna get him all sorted out. And this is a boy. It is not a girl. So whatever your vet told you, you need to go get your money back, because if they're too dumb to tell whether the cat's a male or a female when it's this old and it's got these little dangly bits on the back, they probably need to go back to school, and they definitely owe you your money back. So we were like, yeah, it's a boy, which was another thing, because Kimari's not really been big on boy cats either. But as we were walking around holding the kitten, she just walked right past us like it wasn't even there. So at one point, I knelt down holding the kitten, and Kimari walked straight up to it, like nose to nose again, until the little dude hissed, and then she hissed back like, screw you, dude. I live here. Just trying to be nice. And then she walked off like, fuck this guy. Sorry, I had to grab a quick sip of water. That was really killing me. So yeah, then they, fed him, got him tucked in, settled in, and, left him in the guest room for the night. It's kind of where he's set up as his like little station. So they both have full run of the house. I think this is the way we were trying to do it initially before, and I think it works out better with this little guy. So he has his own little area he can retreat into, and she doesn't really come to this side of the house because my office is over here. She hates the fan, and for some reason she hates this office. She'll only come in here if she absolutely has to. I don't know why, but she just sometimes will feel compelled to run in here. So she doesn't really come up to this corner of the house much. So he's got his own little place to hang out, play, and be him. And then he's got the rest of the house to run through and explore. And she's got plenty of places to hide and get away from him if she doesn't want to be bothered. And she's pretty good about telling you when she doesn't want to be bothered. The only thing that really annoys me about it is that she'll hiss at me, or probably my wife too, I don't know. But I know she'll hiss at me when she's like, why'd you let him in here? I'm like, whatever, dude. You're curious. If he wasn't hissing at you back, you'd probably be like, oh man, this is cool. But the other thing that makes I'll tell you, the cat's name is Ace Rorschach. My wife called him a little inkblot kitten because he looks like he was sitting down when they poured paint on him and turned him black, and like some of it leaked around his like hindquarters and his butt. So like from the bottoms of his back legs all the way up to the tip of his tail, like along where he would sit down, is just this fluffy gray fur. So he looks like he's just got dipped or got poured paint on, and then they let him dry, and he stood up and was like, oh, like a Rorschach test. So his name is Ace Rorschach, and I thought that was really cool. The thing about Ace is he's got a much more mellow personality, though, overall. Like, he's not really aggressive. He's a little bitey, and I think it's because it's partly kitten energy. It's also probably a little bit of the, baked in trauma or worry of, the little human that was handling him pretty rough. So he gets a little bitey and a little angry every now and again. And also, he might have been in a little bit of pain. I think he was eating like a little bit more dry food than he needed to and not getting enough moisture. So he might have had a little bit of constipation going on. But since yesterday, His attitude's improved a little bit. He's still very feisty and very bitey because he's a kitten. But he's not as high strung as the former cats we had, especially not little Yuki, who went to a lovely home, by the way. He's a great cat. He's a great cat. But yeah, he's still got like, you know, Ace has still got a little bit of that yum, 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 bitey energy to him. So we're slowly working that back. But so far, so good. You know, it was an interesting day today. Yesterday was cool because I had to take him to the vet. I wanted to see if they would get a stool sample from him early, so I fed him, then I took him over to the vet, and they were like, we don't have any appointments until 2:30. I'm like, fuck, it is 11 o'clock, and this cat just ate. I was hoping he would get here, they could do a fecal, and then he could just poop. Now I gotta get him back home, but I still gotta get all his stuff so he can have everything he needs. When I get him back home, dude, you're gonna have to hold it. So I ran through the stores, picking up all the stuff that I needed to get for him, like a larger litter box so he wasn't kicking litter all over the carpet, mat because he's still kind of a messy eater because he's still a baby and he's eating a lot of soft food that I make for him. You know, some toys and little things like that to keep his interest so he's more motivated to play and enjoy being a cat without focusing on Kimari, who's an older cat and doesn't really do that kind of kitten play stuff. So, yeah. He held it, got him back home, put the litter in the box, and dude jumped right in and was like, dude, thank you. I've been holding this for hours. I was like, I'm so sorry. Then he got settled in, took him back and put him in the car, took him back to the vet. They jabbed him with the needles and stuff. They did the tests. So he's got a clean bill of health so far. Ears look good, eyes look good, nose looks good, tummy looks good. No FLV or FIV. For those of you who aren't aware, it's basically the feline versions of leukemia and AIDS or HIV for cats. Super deadly, super contagious to other cats. It was a great sigh of relief breathed over that. And he's going for a next round of vaccinations after Christmas. So everybody out there, say hello to Ace the cat. And let's hope that things continue to go on this smooth track. As I was saying, today was an interesting day because they did actually run into each other a couple times. I think it was mostly on accident because Ace was in play mode and Kimari was in explore mode, just kind of walking around the house like she does, doing her lap. And then Ace barreled around the corner. I think he spooked her. And so she hissed at him and growled. And then he was just following her like, you know, which way did he go, Doris? And just kind of crawling on his little belly, trying to show like, I'm not dangerous. I'm just curious. I want to be your friend. And she's like, I was cool with you too until you hissed at me, you little bastard. So then she like walked off. And she like it's giving me the stink eye too until I was like, you know, turn your heating pad on. I'll give you some ham. You're a good cat. You didn't attack the little dude. You just hissed at him to let him know, you know, this is your house. You know, that's fine. That's fair. You're not aggressive. And then she went to lay down on the couch opposite me. And I was going to take a nap. And that's when Ace's super dum-dum play energy came out. And he was climbing up and down this recliner. Until he was like, you know, give him a couple little snaps and no, to let him know he's not supposed to claw and scratch the couch. And he goes, fine, I'm just going to lay down. So he lays down looking right at Kimari and then watching him something on TV. He starts watching that. Kimari stops watching him and starts to go to sleep. I look over, Ace is knocked out. So they're sitting maybe 10, 12 feet from each other, just chilling, sleeping. I'm like, this could actually work. This is a really good sign. This could actually work. It was super encouraging to see that. And I really hope that that vibe continues and carries on and starts to build more where they go like, you know what? As long as you're not screwing with me, you're good. I'm really excited. So the journey forward is just trying to make sure he switches over to the, you know, the food that we feed here in the house. Making sure he gets the rest of his vaccinations and then, you know, giving them time to engage with one another, but also time away so that they both have their separate corners. Kimari has our bedroom that she'll go and hang out in. He has his own little guest room that he can go and hang out in. Sometimes you just got to put him in there and close the door and let him chill for a little while, bring some of that crazy baby energy back down. But overall, he's been really cool. We're really excited and just very hopeful that things will work out. So any well-wishing prayers, you know, good vibes, whatever it is you want to send this way so that they can ingratiate themselves toward one another and we can integrate him into the home smoothly and safely and happily and healthily. That would be very much appreciated, as is all of your support in general. This has been another Wandering One podcast. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you for telling people about the show and for, you know, rating and subscribing to the show. I really appreciate it. Don't forget, you can check me out on Twitch at twitch.tv/linkib. That's LINKIBE. Or you can stop by streamlabs.com/linkib/merch if you want to pick up some cool little holiday stuff. I actually got a couple of orders this week. I was really surprised. I'm really thankful too. So whomever that was that bought stuff from the Streamlabs store, thank you so much. That was hugely unexpected. And I'm very grateful for you. Don't forget, patreon.com/wanderingonestudios. Just go follow the Patreon for now, and there'll be an announcement when you want to subscribe. Because at present, I'm trying to make sure everybody's kind of pushed off, you know, and not really doing anything just yet. I want to change the price from $5 to $3. And for those $3, you'll get bonus episodes twice a month that are exclusively for Patreon subscribers by Patreon subscribers. And what I mean by that is you can ask me a question, you can drop in your comments, and I can read those on the air. You can posit a theory, you know, like a this or that, you know, would you rather do this, this, you know, something, some fun stuff, you know what I mean? But exclusively brought to you by you. And I'm looking forward to doing some more of those. So go and check out patreon.com/wanderingonestudios. Follow the Patreon and wait to subscribe until I drop the price down from $5 to $3. And I appreciate each and every one of you. Again, just rate, subscribe, and share. That makes the podcast grow the most. And we're getting to the point where I'm looking down the barrel of maybe if I keep pushing, maybe I can get some tailored ads. Maybe I can intrigue some sponsors into sponsoring the podcast, which would be cool. You know, maybe it'll improve the overall quality of the content. I mean, if I have the money to do extra stuff, why not, right? Maybe add some you know, a cool theme song. Maybe I hire somebody to edit this shit for me while I'm learning how to do it. Make like a good podcast edit, you know? Like, yeah, you can do that. I'll give you some coin. Hey, who knows? I could be creating business opportunities for my studio. That would be awesome. That's what I really wanted to do anyway. And sponsorship would help me pull that off. But we'll see. You know what? While we're going into the holiday season, sometimes people like to reach out and reconnect with old friends, family members, coworkers. Why not share the podcast with like a former classmate or a former coworker as a way to reconnect? If you think that they might like the podcast, you know, drop them a link and, you know, say, hey, why don't you check this guy out? I'd really appreciate it. And hopefully they will too. In the meantime, take care, guys. Be good. Have a wonderful week. And I'll see you a little farther on down the road. Thanks a lot.